opportunity to welcome all of you, Darrow Campus students, all the students by internet and by Roku. Amen. Father, we're so thankful for another opportunity that we have just to be in your presence. For in your presence, there's fullness of joy, joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, our helper, our comfort, our standby. Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher. No man can receive anything except it be given to him from above, and you are the revelator. So we thank you for being the true teacher, and you will teach us tonight. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. We thank you for the royal family. We thank you that everything that they set their hands to do, it shall surely prosper. And we are a part of that prosperity because he's investing his life into us, and we're so thankful for it. And we praise you and honor you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. We're going to look at chapter 5 in Catching the Waves. A couple of scriptures I want you to turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. This is why I think this chapter will kind of reveal why I believe revival is a constant. You know, I don't believe revival is hit and miss. I believe revival is from glory to glory to glory. You know, anything that's not increasing is dying. Is that right? Anything that's not flowing, is being stagnated. Y'all understand that? So when it comes to the gospel, I think one of the things that's missing in this generation that God is restoring back to his church is apostolic government, where we can watch this, see the power of God in manifestation and in demonstration. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable. I'm kind of like apostle. We don't see enough. You know, I won't see some signs, some wonders, and some miracles. You understand? I'm talking about authentic stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we thank God for every little manifestation. But I thank God for the person that got to get out the wheelchair. You know, I'm talking about stuff that we know. You know what I'm saying. Thank God he can take care of headaches and stomach aches. And as the Bible said, I believe in Mark, where it said because of unbelief, Jesus was able to cure a few minor ailments. You know, maybe a headache or a toe ache or something, you know. But, you know, Jesus is interested in manifesting God's glory. So in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul, read for me, 1 through 4.
And I, brethren.
Now, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, and I, brethren.
When I came to you.
Notice what he said. When I came to you.
Came not with excellency of speech.
I did not come to you with the excellency of speech. In other words, I'm not concerned about what you think about my dictation. My charisma, my charismata, because that don't matter, because I'm result-oriented. I didn't choose myself. God chose me. Read the Bible.
Or of wisdom.
I didn't come with man's wisdom.
Declaring unto you the testimony of God.
Now notice, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So listen, so revival really is declaring the testimony of God. That's really what true revival is. Read.
For I determined not to know anything.
For I determined not to know anything
among you. Save Jesus Christ.
Except Jesus Christ.
And him crucified.
Now, y'all know that the Bible talks about the cross being the power of God. See, true revival is about not the preaching of the cross. Jesus crucified. Jesus crucified, buried. On the third day, he got up. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you read about, he's still doing today. Amen. All right, read.
And I was with you in weakness.
Now, this is what I want you to pay attention to, because there are manifestations of true revival. Manifestations. In other words, when true revival is present, you can expect to see these unveilings or revelations or manifestations. Watch this, of the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, what now? Read it again. What did he say?
And I was with you in weakness.
And I was with you in weakness.
And in fear.
And in fear.
And in much trembling.
And in much trembling. Now stop. That don't sound like a whole lot. Now, if you've been a following apostle for any length of time, especially once he received this apostolic call, but since I've been knowing him, he always talks about his weaknesses and his infirmities. He say that's where he get his strength from. But he also uses this word a lot. He say, I'm overwhelmed. Y'all not talking. He always talk about being overwhelmed by God's presence and God's power. He also talks about, y'all think I come out here like I'm the big mighty man of God. He say, but I come out here stumbling and bumbling, often, watch this, in fear and in trembling. Because basically what he's saying is, I have more respect for what God can do through me than me coming out here trying to prove something to you. Y'all understand? I have respect and honor for the one who called me. All right. So what does Paul say?
And my speech.
And my speech.
And my preaching.
And my preaching.
Was not with enticing words.
Was not with enticing words.
Of man's wisdom.
Of man's wisdom.
But in demonstration.
But in demonstration.
Of the Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
And of power.
And of power. That's what true revival is. Demonstrations of the Holy Spirit that comes with power. See, I don't know about y'all, but you know, talk is cheap. I believe God is result oriented. At the end of the day, let the chips fall where they may. Okay, now let's talk about this. The Holy Spirit's work in times of revival is accelerated. What at other times may be done silently or progressively and less dramatically may be done, watch this, what? Instantaneous by and with demonstrations of power in times of revival. Demonstrations of what? Power in times of revival. See, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, demonstrations of what? Power. Then you got Luke 4:18. These scriptures, listen to me, all bespeak revival. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, what did it say?
For our gospel came not unto
this
you.
This is Paul saying, for our gospel came not unto you.
In word only.
In word only. Now hold up. Now y'all know we got a church full of the word. We have people can quote more scripture. Maybe you can quote more scripture than me. You know, sometimes people can quote more scripture to you so they think they deserve to be up here. This is a calling. Can't go to school to get up here. Okay. Somebody say, well, I'm here at apostle school. Yeah, you can be at apostle school, but God got to call you. Apostle know God got to call you. As a matter of fact, y'all ready for this? Huh? God really called you to do something? Apostles see it. You can't hide it. You can't hide the call, baby. Once you receive the call, it cannot be hidden. And that's why we need fathers such as apostle to keep us from making shipwreck. Because some people just get happy. Like Pharrell. You know, this ain't time to be happy. You got to have something before you go out here. All right. So notice what he said. Our gospel came not unto you in what? Word only. But what?
Also in power.
But it came. Now notice, it didn't say it didn't come in word. It didn't say it didn't come in word only. But it came also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in what?
Much assurance. And much,
baby, let me tell y'all something. When the Holy Ghost is moving, people have no doubt that God is in the room. Y'all got it? So y'all got that scripture. Then we got Luke 4:18. Now this was after This was after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And the Bible says, and the heavens opened, and lo, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and it remained upon him. Okay, that's the key thing. And it remained upon him. Then we see after the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained upon him, the Bible says immediately he was driven or led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Y'all got that? Huh? And I think I mentioned this to you, but you know what you think was happening for 39 days before the devil showed up? He was training. He was praying in the Holy Ghost, getting Holy Ghost training so that when the enemy show up, he had something in his hand to back him up. Yeah, it's good to walk tall and carry a big stick. Now, so the Bible says after 40 days, the tempter showed up. But when the tempter showed up, he thought he had Jesus at his weakest moment. He thought he had him where he could take him out. Now, Jesus had been fasting and praying and training. I don't believe Jesus prayed in the Hebrew tongue. I believe Jesus for all 39, 40 days was praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why we picking it up. Now, the Bible says after he was tempted of the devil for that time period, says he returned in the power. Go ahead. He returned in the what? Power of the Spirit. All right. Watch this. Holy Ghost led. Holy Ghost controlled. Come on. You listening? Completely. Listen, I believe in Jesus' training. He submitted himself to becoming Holy Spirit possessed. Y'all won't be talking about demon possessed. I had never heard the term become God possessed till I got around Apostle Thompson. He said, well, hell, you can be demon possessed. Why not get God possessed? I said, Lord, that's a good thought. I mean, think about it. We get afraid of people demon possessed. I want y'all to know when you get God possessed, people going to have fear on them of you. Oh, now see, y'all understand when the power of God, and that's what we're about to show you, and revival, when the power of God comes into manifestation, great fear comes upon the people. But it's not a negative fear. It's a great reverence and a great respect and a great honor because they know this is not the work of a man. Are y'all with me? Okay, now, Luke 4:18, what does it say?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Now, this is, I think the verse above that, Jesus said he asked the minister for the book. Mm-hmm. Huh? What verse is that?
17.
The 17th verse, read it.
And there was delivered unto him. The book of the prophet. Isaiah.
And
when he had opened the book.
And when Jesus opened the book.
He found the place.
Notice this, I'm talking about revival here. He found the place
where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
I like the part where he found the place where it was written of him. I'm reading about me. Oh, now y'all a little quiet. That's not bragging. That's revelation. You can't carry out who you are till you know who you are. Once you know who you are, you don't have to prove to nobody who you are. Your identification comes from Christ. Read the Bible.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me.
Once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. That not? You are. You don't need to be asking, but you are anointed. You don't need nobody to lay hands on you to get anointed. You got the greatest anointing in the earth realm. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Power to do what? Carry out God's agenda. Revival of me is every day. I tell you what, you get around real men of God. To me, this is fun. I just wish some of y'all can hang out a while. I don't care where I go. I preach at the supermarket. I ask my brother right here. He'll tell you. He used to work as a manager in sales. I'll walk into sales like a crazy man. I mean, you know, not to be disrespectful, but there was a young man in the store. He said he wanted to get pregnant. Him and a wife were standing there. They wanted to get pregnant. I said, well, let's pray now. Now, that's not being fun. I'm trying to show you. This revival. I mean, I'm looking for something to happen. Well, I tell you what. Demonstration and manifestation. We prayed for that young man right there in the store. What it was. Wasn't even a week or so. I don't know. Not much later, his wife was pregnant. What? In Zales Jewelers? God will show up at the Hickory Ballroom if he finds somebody who understands revival. Read, what did it say?
Because he had anointed me.
Because he hath anointed me.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
He sent me
to
heal the brokenhearted.
He sent me not to pray for not to pray for the brokenhearted, to heal them. Read.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
And recovering of eyesight to the blind. Look at me, y'all. All the stuff you reading about now. That's the kind of manifestations we headed into right now.
Amen.
I'm talking about true revival is breaking forward. See, true revival break forth. A blind person don't come to your congregation blind and walk out blind.
Right.
Something got to happen.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know about you. I feel like that. Something got to happen. I'm tired. I mean, we make all kind of excuses for why people are not receiving. Well, let's make up this excuse. Maybe we ain't packing as we should pack. I never saw excuses. Jesus never made no excuse for why somebody didn't get healed. Now look at y'all. Jesus, the Bible say, healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He didn't make excuses for why they wasn't receiving. He said, I got enough power to cause them to receive. Now I know y'all don't like it. Here we go. What's about the man that was sitting at the pool of Bethsaida? Huh? Solomon's porch in St. John chapter number 5. He'd been there for over 30 some years. Because there was an angel that was released at a certain time to stir up the water. But when Jesus got to him, and the Bible says he perceived that he had been there for a long time, Jesus asked him, oh, would you be made whole? Huh? Would you? The man with the talking about, sir, when the angel come, they don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Jesus didn't even come. Jesus said, the one who caused the angel to come, get in the pool here. I did not ask you about who here to put. I asked you one question. Will you be made whole? Now watch this. The man wasn't focused on did he have faith. See, we get caught away with people are not receiving because they don't have faith. Sometimes. What faith he had? The man said, nobody to put me in the water. He didn't even think. Jesus said, look, get your bed up. Get up out of here. I'm y'all. See. I'm just trying to show y'all. Sometimes I think we get too one-sided. I believe that it's time for the true gifts to show up. And when the true gifts show up, things are going to happen without excuse. We will not make excuses for why people are not receiving. We will have such a demand on God and such a demand on the Holy Spirit that signs, wonders, and miracles will break out amongst the people. And great fear will come upon the church. Now read, what did it say?
To set at liberty.
To set at liberty.
Them that are bruised.
Them that are bruised.
And to preach the acceptable
year. And to preach the acceptable year
of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Then he goes farther down after he gave the minister the book. He said, now this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, I believe that we're in the day of great revival right now. So one of the things that you're going to see is fear and awe. Manifestation of true revival. Say fear
and
awe.
And awe.
This is not the fear of disobedience or negative self-induced fear resulting from guilt because maybe you did something wrong. You know, amen. But this is a godly fear and a holy respect for the sovereignty of God. This fear is a healthy sense of honor and respect for God and his presence. Y'all got it? The book of Proverbs is a great book to read, because the book of Proverbs says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, wise dominion, having reverential respect for God. See, that's where true revival really takes place. You got respect for God. See, when you respect a person, they know it.
Yeah.
Y'all see, men of God can't really do stuff. I get in the presence of people, and I know y'all ain't gonna like it, but you know, if a person don't have great respect for you, ain't much you can do for them. They turn you off. Gifts are turned on by the level of honor and respect that you give to them. Now y'all quiet. That's what turn a gift on. If I don't care who the gift is a, if a gift doesn't get that sense of honor and respect, it'll shut down on you. That which was meant to bless you can end up, I know y'all not going to believe this, but you see, that's what happened in Jesus' own hometown and amongst his own family members, the ones he grew up with. Y'all kind of quiet. See, the gift get turns off because, see, we quickly go to the flesh. His brothers was like, you my bro. Jesus told his mama, now y'all got to forgive me, I'm just a little ghetto. Jesus told his mom and his brothers, they came seeking for him, and his sisters, they came looking for him one day. And Jesus said, I ain't got nothing to do with y'all. I see y'all don't even understand this. If you really are my mother, and you really are my brothers, and you really are my sisters, your heart would be set doing the will of God. But y'all don't even understand. See, what Jesus was really saying, mama, if you believe on who I am like you say, get your tail out here. Y'all kind of quiet. Brothers and sisters, get y'all butts here. See, see, why is it that Apostle Thompson's family is not following him as they should? Because they don't have reverential respect for the God that's in him. How could you see all this and not know nothing? You going to let some distant relative, folk ain't even bloodline, come up here and get your stuff.
Come on.
I'm talking about revival up in here. See, revival has to come through somebody. God always finds a man that he can bring revival through. And when that thing breaks out, there will be great fear, great reverence, great honor, and great respect for God himself. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
I don't have time to go through all of it. You got your book, read. But what it shows you, and I mean, as the author is saying these things, I just go through my mind. When things were done, the Bible says great fear. Well, turn to Acts 2. I'll show it to you. Now, y'all know Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. Huh? Peter preached. 3,000 people. That's another manifestation of a great revival. Because souls are added to the church. In unusual, numbers. Because something is happening. Y'all in Acts 2, 43, read.
And fear came upon every soul.
And fear came upon every soul.
And many wonders and signs were done. By the apostles.
But notice the first part of the verse. Read it again. Fear came upon every soul. That's not that negative fear. See, that negative fear, you know, we've been reading, if you read, and I believe it's Luke chapter 8, it was a part of our reading today, you know, that negative fear, Jesus cast the devil out and sent him in the pigs, and they say, could you please leave? Like he working voodoo or something. The man who was living here naked in the tomb, no clothes, is now clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him, and you asking Jesus to leave your city.
Come on.
You got the wrong kind. See, most people can't follow Apostle Thompson because they got fear of he going to get all the money. Well, how crazy could you be? Well, I'm living pretty good.
Amen.
Let's see everybody looking now. Well, thank you. I'm glad somebody else said you should. Some of y'all in here should say me too, too. Because of your connection, stuff happening. I'm really doing a lot better than I was on my own. Isn't that something? Why? How could I be connected to the apostle of finances and nothing happen? So for all of you who think he got all the money, visit my house. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, you're talking about revival, right? Do y'all know the first time I put $100 in his hand? The very first time? I said the very what? Not because everybody was walking up there putting money. This is money cometh is apostolic and prophetic. It has this is the year too. It has the impact. This is a revival to make stuff happen. The very first time God spoke to me and said, write a check in his name. God was specific. I ain't never did it before. He didn't coerce me to do it because this is the first time I ever saw him. And God, I'm sitting underneath the balcony, and God tells me specifically, write a $100 check with his name on it and bring it to him. I did. Thank God I obeyed. Yeah. Oh, my God. If I'd have gotten the reasoning, sir, I don't know. I might be broke as the Ten Commandments that Moses dropped when he came off the mountain. I walked up there and put that check in his hand, and he did what he do when all of us do that. He looked at the check. He didn't say nothing. He looked at me. I got it on tape. He looked at me, just put the check there and kept preaching. Y'all want to know what happened when I got home? Do you want to know what happened when I got home? When I got home, God had spoken to a young lady as she was getting dressed to come to church. She said, God told her, when you get to church today, write a check out in your pastor's name for $100 with his name on it. Y'all ready for this? Oh, that would have been all right if it was just one. The whole church walked that day. Everybody who came up put a check on there with my name on it. And some was bringing cash money and putting it at the altar. That never happened to me before. And it wasn't the pastor's anniversary. You know, so people, it brought great honor and great respect. That's why I have great honor and great respect for him. I don't care what nobody else say. You just don't say it around me. Now, you might be bad, but don't talk about him around me. I'm just letting you know. So if you got any negative thing to say, go somewhere where I can't hear you. Because I will become something that you ain't saw up in here before. Okay. The second thing that happens, come on now, come on. The second thing that happens during true revival is, you know, number one is fear and trembling. Now, I've seen this fear and trembling. You know, this is not negative. I've seen the power of God come on people and they shake like I tell you what, like they got tasered. I've seen it. They got a man in here. I've seen the Holy Ghost come up on him. He shake like, you know, if you watch them, you say, Lord, what's wrong with me? But don't worry about it. Ain't nothing wrong with you. They're just a good conductor of the current. Y'all have never seen an apostle touch people and, oh, my goodness, you'd think somebody hit them with a bolt of electricity. But that's just true revival. They got some people conduct electricity like that. Now, don't get mad. Maybe you ain't learned how to get, you know, conducive to, you know. Yeah. I'm just trying to help them while I'm here, you know, because, you know, you always see in your mind this is going on. You might not say it. Everybody falling but you. You'd be like, Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? Get your tail tuned in. I'm just crazy. I know I'm crazy, but that's your mind. Wow. Shut your mind up and say, Lord, I'm not leaving here till you touch me.
Yeah.
All right. Then, now, there's a grief and a sorrow that comes with true revival. But this is not that negative grief or sorrow. Yeah. See, we always go quick to go to the negative. Yeah. But this talks about Jesus just like men of God today. Let me tell you something. When you know what God can do,
right?
Huh? Yeah. And you don't see people getting it, it grieves you.
Yes, it
a certain amount of sorrow. Why can't they get this? Right. I have relatives sometimes. I wonder why they don't know who I am.
Right.
Oh, and I see y'all don't like that. See, if I talked about you, it's okay. I know I'm living it. Why they can't connect like they're supposed to? But I tell you what, when you have compassion, you go. I just had one in the hospital. See, sometimes, you know, God will send you to help them. You better help them. Sure, better to help them than for them to be dead. Amen. But, you know, I'm telling you, see, I believe God be trying to show people something. You know, if you got it, God will keep sending you to them till they just totally reject you. Then God will speak to you and say, leave them alone. There's a grief and a sorrow. This grief and sorrow is not the negative type of emotional expression, but one of the spirit. This grief and sorrow results from Christ's compassion and intercession for the lost and the unbelieving. Jesus would look out on the field and say, man, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. I need some people to have a heart that love people. Now, can I talk to y'all? In true revival, we don't send you to pray for people. That's not apostolic. That's religious. What do you mean? See, I believe we don't get results because we've been taught wrong. We put more emphasis on pray for the sick than heal them. God didn't authorize people to go pray for them. He said, go heal the sick. Why don't you read it? Go heal. Your mindset is different. See, if I know I'm sent to heal you, ain't no question you're going to get healed.
Yeah.
Ain't no question in my mind. Ain't nothing you're going to say going to stop it. Mm-hmm. See, y'all, see, do you understand that people will have a confidence in what you're saying? When you go in the right spirit, now if you go there, Lord, if it be your will, Jesus, and Lord, if you touch him, have mercy, Lord, sir. Oh, Jesus, what church you come out of? You know, I'm just saying that's how we send people. And you hear, now y'all think I'm not trying to be funny. You don't really hear this till you go in the hospital and listen to them next to you. Be, oh, Jesus, that person gonna die tomorrow. Because they don't know. Jesus sent them to heal the sick, cast the devil, cast out the devil, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. That's revival. When we go out and do this, you can empty out whole communities. But there's got to be some significant things happen. I believe that. I believe when people show up in certain conditions, God wants to use that to get that whole community. Find somebody blind that's been walking the street 30 years blind in that community and get them healed.
Yeah.
Find somebody been in a wheelchair for the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. All their family members know it. All of the neighborhood people know it. Let the power of God hit them. And you ain't got to advertise.
Right, right.
All right. See, y'all really want to go here. That's why the dead is not being raised. We really don't think God can do it. Uh-huh. But I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I've seen too many people that should be dead. And trust me, I say I have witness because, you know, some of us, we travel together. But I have witness. We went in the room. I didn't say me did it. It was God doing it. But, you know, if you're going to bring somebody with you, make sure they're on the same page. Can't bring people with you who ain't on the same page. Ain't nothing gonna happen in that room. But I have witnessed. We went in room with the whole family gathered. The doctors tell them the child gonna die. Raised in the same family, attended the same church. We go into the hospital and they act like they had a mourning session. We just did what we were taught to do. Put them all out. Put them all out. Y'all know this is my brother, right? Yeah, we did a lot of stuff in our coming through in our Kojic days. We wasn't liked too well, but we did it. We put more people in hell than anybody. But we did have some good stuff we did. We got them relatives healed. I'm just telling y'all, tubes running all through the girl's nose, all kind of stuff. The doctors told me she gonna die. We walk in the room laughing. Why? Because we know something. What we know, we got the power. Yeah. Y'all looking at me like, baby, this is revival. Revival is what you know. Yeah. I know God is doing. See, in great, and she here, she married, she got a child.
Yes, sir.
Because from the time we prayed, it turned around.
Amen.
Don't worry, that's not going to turn your relatives. Sometimes you can do whatever you want. They're going to get them healed and they keep going their own way. Love them and let them go. Praise that they ain't come and join your church either. So don't worry about it. They're comfortable with that old time religion. All right, number three, trembling. And I don't, the clock says 7:25. Don't y'all have, apostle can't put me out. Y'all watch, 7:25, ma'am. You told me 3 minutes now.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much. Because I'm kind of carried away here tonight. The third thing is trembling and shaking. We talked a little bit about that. Y'all, listen, I'm not telling you something I read. I'm telling you stuff I've seen. I saw a young man, I'm talking about in my own fellowship. I saw a young man at the keyboards playing. I saw the Holy Ghost lift him up and throw him against the wall. He was there. This happened. I ain't telling y'all, I'm telling you. I saw the Holy Ghost pick him up from the chair and throw him. I said, oh, well, whatever that is, Lord. I'm just telling you. Look, I'm telling you. Listen. I have seen, I'm talking, I sense it coming on now. I've stood before people preaching, and I'm telling you, I saw a young lady get pinned to the floor. Look at me and say, can't get up. But more than that, I remember Apostle talking about preaching in New York in a basement. Come on, talk to me. I'm listening.
Right.
Preaching in the basement. He said, see, y'all worried about Madison Square Garden. He preached there.
Yeah.
But power showed up in the basement too.
Right.
Yeah.
In the basement just preaching. All of a sudden, everybody in the congregation falling out like dominoes. I remember him saying he was preaching in a camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come on, talk to me. First time he had to preach.
Right.
The whole place shook.
Right.
Baby, y'all got to say something is happening.
Yes.
See, I believe when true revival breaks out, the power of God come with such awesomeness and such demonstration that it makes people want to see what God is doing.
Yes.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. See, I believe we ought to be hungry for revival.
Yes.
Now, I'm result oriented. And I don't need a crowd.
Right. Come on.
See, I always hang out by myself anyway. I don't have a lot of people I run by. I don't run with preachers to talk about other preachers. I don't have time for that.
Right.
I'd rather be feeding on what the man of God's saying so I can get what he got.
Yes. Come on.
What you think I'm following Apostle Thompson for? What you think I'm following him for? You out of your mind. You think I'm following him as a cheerleader? No, I'm following him so that self-same spirit, that self-same anointing, all of my inheritance that God put in him for me, Ron, get it. I don't want to be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I don't want to be just a follower. I want to be a partaker of his apostolic grace. And I'm not going to be mad if somebody said, if you saw Ron, you saw Dr. Thompson.
Yeah.
I think that's the greatest compliment a man can get.
Yeah.
You done got around a man so much that his spirit done rubbed off on you.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've been following Kenneth Hagin. How much you got? 1 minute? 2 minutes. Okay. Tell you all this so I won't get overtime. Get put out for a minute. I remember following Kenneth Hagin so close, I didn't even know Apostle Thompson then. But I followed Kenneth Hagin. I studied Kenneth Hagin every day.
Amen.
I listened to tapes every day I came from work.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It was a habit. I wasn't even a preacher then. I was a pursuer.
Come on.
I listened to Kenneth E. Hagin so much, I thought he was God. If he didn't say it, it didn't exist. God corrected me on that later, just trying to show you something. Anyway, I say that to say this. I have never in all of my life seen anybody carry Kenneth Hagin's anointing like my daddy. Matter of fact, sometimes he walked like him. Sometimes he talked like him. Then other times he looked like him.